Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see on TV. Wait a minute. I know them, you know.
Double O W E, looking for the sweetest hit. Well, we got the recipe. Been patient waiting for someone to show you. So we gon' show you how. We gon' break it down. We gon' break it down.
Oh, man. Hey, Al, they should have been singing the whole time live.
Exactly, man.
I got 10 engagements. If I go to one event, I got like 5-6 people, you know, booking me. Blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale. Like, I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But, hey. I spoke.
You are a real artist. I am a real artist.
Was written, and you know what? You know what, cuz? I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book.
I'm blown away.
I told God I would be faithful about the spirit that he gave me, and he wouldn't let me release it for some time. But if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very, very simple. You know, I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy, AK Disco, AK Disco, 3-5. And I say, sure, I don't do no physical harm to them. I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from them, and they act right.
I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all.
See, I thought that, because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are K-Tickle Girl, the one you heard about. We fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles too. We are K-Tickle Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, I guess, is in? I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel it most represents, your style of music?
Well, Ron L., who is one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers. We've just finished our 4th CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls Jip Jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, like you said, I was sitting there. There was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything, and I don't want to call him his real name. Chaz has come a long way, and his music is.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the voice, and as I said before, T-A-Z, host the show, man.
Good evening. This is T-A-Z-P Live, another T-A-Z production live. I have in the house my cousin, the Era Jeter. What's up, sincerely, CJ?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm here. I'm all right. How y'all doing?
Doing good. I'm doing good. I'm going to tell you, I read through your book last week, I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, I'm really feeling this, because we the same blood.
Yeah.
Killing you all the way through. And for the most, I'm going to read this about the author. For most of her life, Sierra J. felt boxed in, attempting to fit the mold of everyone else needed to fit. When enough was enough, she decided to break free from the expectations of others and be who she was born to be, bold, spontaneous, and free. I'm telling you, like it says on in chapter 7, I think it's chapter 7, you can jump around, you can jump from various chapters to get an understanding of my story. That's exactly what I'm getting ready to do, because I ain't going in no order. Because one really spoke to my heart, and that was smashing. Because it spoke to my heart, because I lived that life too. Smashing and dashing 101. I lived that life too. I got to understand it. Because I'm like, when I first picked up the book, I started to go that way, but I went in order. Because I read the titles of the chapter first. But I went in order. I was like, oh, we on my chapter now, right? So I highlighted a few things, and then I'm going to ask you to expand upon them. In a world where commitment is avoided like the plague, smashing and dashing has become a cure-all to loneliness, horniness, and longings of value and acceptance. You also put on the other page on 62, this type of relationship is not for the weak, and I can testify for that. What made you write this chapter? I mean, Smashing and Dashing, which is a cool name. I know all about it, so just go on and explain what made you decide to add that to the book?
Because that was the life I was living. And I wanted, and I feel like honestly, it's okay for you to choose to live that way or to choose that type of relationship if both parties agree to it. And I feel like a lot of times in situations, both parties aren't agreeing with it because everybody's not completely honest or they don't fully understand the nature of that type of relationship. So I'm just like, hey, let me put this in here because I think it's important for people to fully understand, like, this is not, you have to completely X out of your emotions, your feelings, and not even allow yourself to feel for someone to a certain degree when you're in this type of relationship, especially when you know or the other party knows it's not going to go past us just having sex.
Right, right, right.
I just wanted to just expound upon it a little bit. Like, okay, if you're going to enter this type of situation, this is some things that can help you do it successfully.
Right, right.
Without no drama, without no issues and stuff like that.
Because there could be a lot of drama doing that.
Mm-hmm.
There could be a lot of drama doing that.
Yeah, definitely.
And I used to tell, when I was in the Army, I used to tell everybody, look here, I'm a hoe, so get your mind right, you know.
Yeah.
We ain't gonna, you know what you want, know what I want. I'll see you Tuesday night, and I'll give you five when I leave out. I might see you next Friday.
Okay.
So, yeah, I lived that life for real, for real. That's why it spoke to my heart when I seen that chapter. So
I'm glad it's good to you.
Explain why you say your dating was in chaos.
I feel like my dating was in chaos because I wasn't communicating what it is that I wanted and what I needed. So I found myself getting more frustrated with guys because they weren't giving me what I needed, but they can't give me what I needed if I'm not saying, hey, like, this is what I need.
Right.
And giving them opportunity to meet that need. And also, I also learned, like, a lot of guys are very emotional. Like, they're more emotional than women. And it's like, and I would say they're more emotional than women, like too early, too soon. Like, if they were just met, like, you don't need to be being mad extra so early. Like, that type of stuff feels like pressure to me, and I'm going to run away. And it's like, I don't want to deal with that, so I'll see you around.
Right. I agree. As you wrote also, as you read my experience, you will laugh, you will tear up, maybe, and you will probably judge my messy ass. Of course, I had to highlight that because I found that to be very profound. And you, mm-hmm. you were bearing all your truths throughout this book. Am I correct?
Mhm. Mhm. I actually had like, but while I was writing this book, I actually had like a review panel of women, like my target audience for this book, and just to see, like, when I share these stories, how they react to it. And a lot of them, they judged me. They laughed. The responses that I want from it was the responses I was getting. So, like, I was really happy about just creating this panel to help me make sure that I'm staying on track with the goals I'm trying to meet with this book.
Right. And plus, I guess while writing it, you were, like, thinking of all kind of things that you went through, and was it hard for you to actually put it down, or you just openly just wrote it and said, heck with it, I don't care what anybody think about it?
It was difficult to put on paper, not because of other people's opinions, but because I had to really relive and basically hash out my feelings and my emotions about those situations. So that's what made it more difficult for me, because I'm just like, yo, like, I have to relive these things. Like, I'm replaying these things in my mind now, and I'm feeling these feelings all over again. So that was kind of why I did it. That was the hardest part of doing it. But I knew that in sharing my truth, I'm freeing someone else so that they can be first truthful with themselves about their situations and who they are, and also feel encouraged to not be ashamed of their story.
Now, I felt it was kind of cool that you wrote a letter at the end of each chapter so you could wash your hands of it and move on. That's what it felt like to me. I don't know if it was that, but I'm just
That's
saying.
That's exactly what it was. That's exactly okay. what it was. Like, every letter that was written is me either saying I'm done with the person or I'm releasing the situation. Like, I'm completely over it. Like, I'm releasing it and completely okay with it because now I can share it with the public without having any type of negative reaction to the situations.
Right. So the chapter that was dedicated to your father, so was your attitude towards men, was it shaped by your father, or was it through
Absolutely.
Experience?
Absolutely. No, I think that with all women, it starts with the nature of your relationship with your dad. And, you know, my dad is amazing, and there were amazing and great times that we did share, but there were also times that were very detrimental to my growth as a woman and to how I regard men, that he should have been there for it and he wasn't. So it definitely shaped how I dealt with men.
So would you have continued suppressing your feelings had you not talked to your dad?
Probably,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad, and I guess a lot of other people are glad that you did have that talk with your father. So
yeah, I'm glad I did. Didn't go so great, but I'm glad I had the conversation.
Now, the Dirty House Bay. when you were talking about that, I said to myself, I had an incident that I went to go, you know, I met this girl at the club, right?
Uh-huh.
And, went to her house, and I heard people talking. Like, there were a whole lot of people, right? And turned on the lights, and there was roaches playing football in the middle of the field. On the floor.
You're lying.
I'm
You're
not
exaggerating
lying.
That, sir.
I heard one roach talking about, so who is you?
I can't.
It was crazy. I'm like, what is all these voices coming? Man, about 30 roaches playing football in the middle of the kitchen floor. I'm like, nah, I understand what you're talking about, Dirty House Bay.
I do have to clarify. Only reason why I named that chapter that was because that's the only thing that, to conceal his identity, that's the only thing that I could connect to him. But the issues between us, as you could read in the chapter, were not even necessarily about him having a dirty house. That it was a factor, but it wasn't the bigger issue for me.
Right, right. I know my wife had told me about people that she went to go see, and they had dirty houses. She had to turn back.
Yeah. If you're not used to that, like, and me growing up, like, the house was clean all the time.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, and then in my mind, I'm like, if you invite a woman to your house and you're a bachelor, yeah, your house can be disgusting when it's just you. But if you're inviting a woman over, you want her to feel comfortable. You want her to come over more often. So you
want
to clean up. That, in my mind, like, maybe it's too much like right, but I just personally feel like if you're inviting me to your house, that means you're cleaning your house, or at least straightening up enough that your house, I feel comfortable sitting on your couch. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so when I saw, like, how he kept up his house, and he has a beautiful home, but it was just like, you have this beautiful house and you don't even take care of it. Who's to say you won't take care of me?
Right, right.
You know, that's how I equated that. And not that I'm like with like financially or I want your money and stuff like that, but in my eyes, having your own home is a blessing because a lot of people don't have their own home, let alone like many people don't even have a warm place to roof over their head. You know what I mean? So it's like you have this blessing, this gift from God, and you treat this gift like it's shit. And it's like,
right.
So me knowing that I, as a woman, I know that I am a gift to man. So how are you going to treat me? How are you going to take care of me? So in my mind, that's how those things worked. And he didn't understand that analogy, how I tied those two together. And I mean, you can be comfortable in your own mess, but I won't be there in that mess with you.
Right. So what did your focus group say about that? About that stuff?
I don't think I shared that one with them. I think that after the whole group panel, that's the only chapter that they did not get to preview.
Okay. Okay. Because I expressed it. I talked to one of my friends that I talk to her and read my books too, because we go over and I do some proofreading as I'm reading it to her. And I told her about your book, and she was like, I understand about that. I was like,
yeah,
that touched the nerve.
Man, I'm like, how you? And I didn't get it at all. I didn't get it. And the crazy thing is, he, you know, he's still like, we're cool, like, we're cordial now. He asked if he could purchase my book, and I'm like, he doesn't know, like, he's in it. But I feel like he would read the chapter and know I'm talking about him. And I just don't feel like that confrontation yet, so I've been, like, avoiding getting his hands on this book.
Oh, yeah, he's going to talk about it. He's going to say, that was me.
He's going to say that was me, and he's going to be mad that I put that shit out there. I'm like, hey, I didn't use your name, you know, I didn't say, you know, who you were or where you stayed or anything like that. I just said, you got a dirty ass house.
Right.
Like,
right.
I would never, like, and, you know, and I've shared it with him plenty of times. Like, I will never, don't ever invite me over. I'm not coming over unless your house is clean.
Right. I agree. Do you think that this can help men also, the book?
Absolutely. I think that it'll help men in the sense understand, like, the thought processes that women have.
Right.
In, like, relationships and stuff. Because I feel like most men don't actually listen. They hear us, but they're not listening to us.
Right.
And, like, because I mean, I really cared about this guy in this particular chapter. And I was even, you know, talking to, I would talk to my therapist about it. And she was like, well, you kind of, you could, like, get, help him by getting him a maid or clean up for him. And I was like, oh, I ain't cleaning up for nobody. And I'm damn sure not about to get him a maid because, like, all he's going to do is keep it
mess
dirty.
It up more.
Like, if you have to show, you know, make initiative to, you know, keep things clean and take care of your own stuff, like, before I come in and help you with it. So
yeah.
I think that it will definitely help men, like, give a perspective from a woman's perspective relationships to men.
Okay, the one chapter, the one that got away, that was the longest letter. You must have been really feeling that emotionally. So was that it?
The longest,
the one that got away, that mm-hmm. was the longest letter.
It was.
And I just want to know what was the meaning behind that, because that really touched you, huh?
I think I just, I regretted that I wasn't open-minded enough to understand him for who he was, because at that time in my life, I was very, like, focused on church and ministry, and it bothered me that we weren't compatible in that sense.
Right.
And so I just walked away from the relationship. But I feel like now, while I still, you know, have the same faith, and I, you know, I'm very, you know, close with God and my relationship with God and all of that,
right,
I feel like now my mind is a little bit more open, and I could have been more open to him.
And you know what,
his,
sounds just like, I feel the same way about, you know, different relationships in the past, now that I think about it. But I guess, you know, hindsight is 20/20. As you get
mm-hmm.
older and you realize, you go, oh, I could have did this differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that, 'cause
it was definitely like, it was probably, of all the relationships I've been in, it was probably my favorite one.
Right. I could tell. Because I was like, this letter lasting a page and another page in the back of the... She won on this one.
I had a lot to say about that one.
Okay, do you think the drinking, when the chapter of ghosting ass nigga, drinking, I mean, y'all was drinking, like, for real, laying it back. Do you think that one of the causes of the problem between y'all?
No, I just think that he wasn't ready for what he claimed he was ready for. And I felt like I was trying to mold myself in a way to be something that he, you know, someone he could commit to, but it just wasn't working. So
Right.
And then also, like, I learned that I have this pattern where when I'm nervous, I drink really heavy, like, to loosen up. And with him, like, I just drank too damn much.
Yeah, you did. I said, they show doing a lot of kickback. They throwing something down his neck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, could have been part of the problem. The name of the book is Sincerely CJ, Sierra Jeter. I love the book. I think, really, did a little, you know, expanding on a couple of the chapters, it could be like almost like a movie a little bit.
I don't know about that. I guess it could.
Yeah,
maybe like more like little short little episodes. I don't see a movie.
I could write a movie on it because it would be, you know, expanded on out. You just hit the points, but you could put some drama in a couple of these chapters on a couple of these relationships for real, for real. Especially the one, Dear Mary Bay, and you said, "Where's your wife at, nigga?" That was the coldest line in that chapter. Hey, you could tell I read it, right?
Yeah, I could tell.
Oh, no, I wasn't playing. I read all the way through. I want to say thank you for calling in. I love the book. Tell the people where they can purchase your book, your other books as well.
You can purchase all my books on sincerelycj.com. It's all there. And I'm on all social media, sincerelycjofficial. So you can hit me up on those, too.
Spell your name again for people that don't know how to spell Sierra.
Sierra.
Also, one more little set of questions I got.
Okay.
Game of Thrones, G. Game of Thrones. I seen you posting it. I think you posting it. And I'm a Game of Thrones aficionado because I've been watching it from the beginning.
Oh, shit.
I seen you posted it. I said, oh, she all locked up in it. Oh, Lord. You know what?
I get to my episodes, man.
Hey, look, I got about five friends that's watching it right now. And they said,
okay.
They say, you told me about it. And I'm finally watching it. It is so good. I said, I tried to told you. So you watching it on Fire Stick or you got the DVDs?
I'm on Fire Stick because I'm.
Yeah, there's different places where you can watch it on Fire Stick too. Because one of my friends watched it on a couple of different spots too.
Yeah, it's and all the seasons are actually on demand if you have like a Comcast. So.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it, and you know, hit me up when you actually get done with it, so we can talk about it.
I will do that.
Cuz, love you. And I love the book. Keep
Thank
doing your
you.
Thing. And I will see you out, you know, about on Facebook. And every now and then I'll hit you up just to say what's up.
Got you. All right. Thanks for having me.
I'm supposed to be in D.C. This May. I'm supposed to be. So I can record a gospel album. So.
Okay.
If I'm in that area, I will definitely hit you up.
Okay, please do.
All right, then. Take care, dear.
All right, take care.
That was Sierra Jeter, my cousin. For the next 30 minutes, I'm going to play some music for you. Ron L., my partner Ron L., just came in from Virginia. I'm going to try to get him to holler at y'all, say something on the mic. I mean, he upstairs right now. But this is Tupac, Dope Fiend Diner on ATAZP.
Barbecue, it's just another boring Monday, and there's nothing heard someone behind me fighting, so I turned to look and find out what's the cause of this excitement. One brother was a dope fiend and the other was a dope man. And the dope man had an AK, said he'll spray and he's not joking. Well, it seems to be the dope fiend on the dope man for his product. And he swore if he did not pay, he would end up getting shot up. Now I could not walk away, cause I got caught up in the scene, wondering what would happen to this poor and helpless fiend. Well, my homie Michael Cooley said, let's go and make our order. What's the use in watching two men stand out here fight over quarters? Well, I walked inside the diner and all the dope fiends waved to me. Heard the sound of several gunshots and I ran outside to see. All the people in the diner ran outside to see the big show. It was just a for them to see just who they would know. But for me, I felt concerned. I wanted to go see the outcome. Would a mother have her son tonight? Or would she live her life without one? I made it to the streets. I almost cried right on the spot. Not only had the fiend died, but a small girl had been shot. My heart could take no more. I felt the tear roll down my face. That was Daddy's. But she took it in his place. Tried to make my way to the crowd so I could go help the baby. She could barely speak, but she whispered, mister, can you please save me? So I screamed out, someone help me. But I don't think they could hear. And if they did, they didn't care. Oh, how I hated everyone there. The baby lost it dying. And I wondered, what could I do? The cameraman and newspapers had come to get their interview. To them it's just a story and they can't see the tragedy. To them it doesn't matter, cause it ain't, it wasn't their family. I don't think I'll be back, cause it'll never be the same here. So I wipe away the tears and leave the scene the way I came here. Though some people say it's crazy and the fool could have been finer, never forget, never forget the night at Dopey Diner.
But ounce, and my heart weighs more than a motherfucking ounce. Definite, there was some love all in it. It's stored up, girl, you can spin it. Do you feel me now? I wanna know, yo, in our second life, if I love you down, title on you, wife. When your love run out cause of the strife, you feel my point, tippy top of a knife. Just one time, I must say it hurts. Years of missing you, now it can't work. And all this love I have inside to give to you, must let it ride. Saying this for the first time, love is you all day I'm thinking of. I understand if love was new, my heart hurts, cause I'm not through.
I remember,
can't be through
the good times with you, but how can I forget our love?
Television Mobile with Sweet Echo.